In 2008, more voters under the age of 35 went to the polls than voters over the age of 65. So how does the younger crowd feel about this year, 2012? This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. 4 years ago, voters under 30 overwhelmingly supported candidate Barack Obama. But a lot can happen in 4 years, and that's what we'll explore this hour. We'll hear from the Pew Research Center, from young voters about who they're supporting this year and the issues important to them, also political scientist Stefan Schmidt of Iowa State University and Heather Smith of Rock the Vote, examining the youth vote in 2012, after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Historically, young people have been much less likely to vote than older Americans. However, that trend has started to change in the past few presidential election cycles, especially the last one in 2008. A census report found that 4 years ago, 49% of those ages 18 to 24 who were eligible to vote participated in the presidential election. Now, that's still significantly lower than the overall voter participation rate at 64%. However, the youngest demographic was the only age group to show a statistically significant jump in 2008 participation. That's what the census reported. But will this trend continue this year? And if so, who benefits? Well, that's our focus this hour. We'll hear from young voters in just a few minutes about who they're supporting in 2012 and the issues that are important to them. But first, roughly 200 Iowa college students and young Obama supporters gathered in downtown Iowa City Tuesday of this week for the Obama for America Iowa Youth Summit. In addition to the live event in Iowa City, the Obama campaign broadcast the summit to locations in Decorah, Ames, Des Moines, Davenport, and Dubuque. Iowa Public Radio's Emily Woodbury reports.
Spirits were high Tuesday as students and young voters poured into the Iowa City Sheridan Hotel Ballroom. They talked amongst each other about issues of health care and student loans for about an hour before the event's speakers came on stage. Actor Cal Penn and Battleground State's director for the Obama campaign, Mitch Stewart, spoke at the event, encouraging youth organizers and voters. Stewart encouraged supporters to use social media sites like Twitter and Facebook to reach out to other young voters.
In 2008, we didn't really recognize or know it at the time, but we had it pretty easy. This year, it's going to be much tougher. It's incumbent upon all of you, though, to do what folks did 5 years ago and what folks are doing across the country right now is to make this pledge, to know that and to believe in the power of your voice, the fact that you can create within your social network a circle of people who are going to go out there and advocate for the president. You're going to register your friends. You're going to persuade folks who are undecided. And you're going to turn out your friends who might not vote without your help.
Several attendees at the event said they don't feel the same amount of support for Obama among their peers as they did back in 2008. They added, however, that they feel the president's election matters more than it did 4 years ago. Here is Cedar Rapids resident Jessica Smith.
This time around, it feels like there's more to lose. It feels a little bit more scary. But I also feel like it's more hopeful.
Campaign volunteers, including University of Iowa student Stephanie Soliday, said the energy level for the campaign is just as high as it was in 2008, and they have not seen a drop in youth support.
We still want this. We appreciate the change that's been made, and we want to keep making change, but if the change goes back, it's going to take even longer. We don't want to be taking a step forward and two steps back. So I think the stakes are higher in 2012 and that young people realize that.
Excitement was high as the speakers concluded, and many attendees grabbed campaign materials and Become an Organizer handouts on their way out of the ballroom. Mitch Stewart reminded the crowd that the movement to re-elect the president begins with one person making one commitment. In Iowa City, I'm Emily Woodbury. Iowa Public Radio News.
Young voters are focused this hour on River to River. I'm Ben Kiefer, and we do want to hear from you this hour, especially if you're in your 30s or younger. Which candidate, which party are you supporting this year? Has your choice changed in the past 4 years? Do you feel the enthusiasm you did 4 years ago? Or if you're no longer a young voter, if you're above the 30s into the 40s and beyond, how have your views changed over the years? We want to hear you this hour. 1-866-780-9100 is our toll-free number. 1-866-780-9100, river to river at iowapublicradio.org. Our email, we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us, first of all, Scott Keeter, Director of Survey Research for the Pew Research Center, joining us by phone from Washington. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Ben.
Let's talk about this trend. I mentioned at the outset, as you at Pew also point out in some recent research, not since 1972 has generation played such a significant role in voter preferences as it has in recent elections. Tell us about that trend.
Sure. I think that a lot of people mistakenly believe that the tendency that we saw in the 2008 elections is an Obama phenomenon, and that's not the case. Beginning in the 2004 election, we began to see a divergence between the votes of younger voters and older voters. Young voters were the Democratic Party's best age group in the 2004 presidential election and in many of the Senate races and the congressional races. That continued to the 2006 congressional races. But the 2008 election saw a yawning gap. 66% of 18 to 29-year-old voters voted for Obama, compared with only 45% among the 65 and older group. That's the largest gender gap, largest age gap that we have seen on record since modern polling began.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about the groups in between, what we call Generation X, 30 to 49-year-olds, and baby boomers, 50 to 65-year-olds.
Well, the baby boomers are increasingly looking more like older voters, not just in terms of our hair color and the rest, but also in terms of the votes. The Generation X group, though, is an interesting one. It really is two generations, if you think about it. The older part of Generation X is somewhat more conservative. A lot of those voters came of age during the Reagan years. And have been, you know, fairly dependably Republican since that time. But the younger part of Generation X, say people in their early to mid-30s, look a lot like the millennial generation, the 18 to 29-year-olds of today.
So what I'm seeing is generally speaking, that the older you get, the more conservative, the more Republican you tend to be in voting.
Well, that has been an idea that a lot of people have had over the years, that people do get more conservative as they get older. And there's some evidence for that on some kinds of issues, but there's a lot going on here that really is not about life cycle or getting frustrated or, you know, sort of learning things and becoming conservative as you age. There are a lot of generational differences that we're seeing that I think are going to persist. I mean, one of the most obvious is that taken as a group, the millennial generation is far more racially and ethnically diverse than older generations of Americans. And a second point is that the younger voters are much more liberal on social issues, which encompasses, of course, a lot of different things, but attitudes about diversity itself is one of them. Attitudes about homosexuality and another. Much more liberal on those issues, and I think they'll continue to stand out even as they age, more liberal than older cohorts.
Okay, Scott Keeter, then what does that tell us about this election year, 2012, that trend continuing on through November and beyond?
Well, we don't. There's a known and an unknown at this point. The known is that we probably will see young voters being the Democratic Party and Barack Obama's best age group again. All of the polling that we've done thus far in this cycle indicates that Obama is getting about the same level of support from young voters that he did 4 years ago. The unknown is how big a role are they going to play? What's the turnout going to be? Is it going to match the very high level, comparatively speaking, for young people that we saw 4 years ago? Or is it going to look more like 2010 when there was quite a fall off? I mean, there's always a fall off in the congressional years, but are a lot of the Obama voters from 4 years ago and the new voters who are coming into the electorate, are they going to be as enthused as they were 4 years ago? And right now it doesn't look like it, but I think it's too early to predict.
Go ahead.
Well, the 4 years ago, one reason why we don't know by comparing the level of engagement right now to 4 years ago is that 4 years ago there was a very hot campaign going on in the Democratic Party between Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. And that served to fire up Democrats of all ages and stripes. And, you know, there was just a lot of interest in that campaign that then carried over into the general election. There hasn't been a campaign on the Democratic side this year. And so since young people are fairly heavily Democratic, they may just come later to the party.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, also, Scott, when we look at issues in these four groups, millennial voters, Generation X, baby boomers, and what we call the silent generation, 65 and over, the issues that they most care about, are there big differences there? You mentioned the social issues and the diversity among the younger voters.
No, there really aren't big differences, and mainly that's because the economy is just crushing everything else in terms of its importance to voters. Now, that's not to discount, you know, some of the social issues, particularly things that have been discussed in recent weeks over contraception, the gender gap, and the like. But, you know, the thing that matters most to young people today is getting a job, and they're having trouble with that. They've had trouble for several years because the recession is always crueler to people who are new to the job market than to people who are already in it. And so that is probably the main reason that we may be seeing less enthusiasm, if in fact that holds up, for Barack Obama, because I think there's a fair amount of disillusionment. Young people have been hard hit by the recession.
Okay.
In terms of other issues, Social Security remains important to the older generations, not to the young, but that's something that's always true. That's not anything new today.
Okay, Scott Keeter, please stay with us, Director of Survey Research for the Pew Research Center. I want to introduce a number of other people we'll be talking to this hour. Kelsey Baim is Chair of College Republicans at the University of Iowa. Catherine Valdi is the Chair of College Democrats at the University of Iowa. And Logan DePover is a Ron Paul supporter, formerly an Obama supporter. They are all in our studio at Iowa Public Radio in Iowa City. Good afternoon to you all.
Good afternoon.
And also joining us from our Ames studio, Stefan Schmidt, University Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University and a well-known, familiar voice on our airwaves. Stefan, hi.
Hi, man.
Okay, we'll get your mic turned up in just a moment, Stefan. Let's go to our students here. Well, since there was a nice dovetail there, Logan, because we were talking a little bit about disillusionment with President Obama. Mm-hmm. You are a senior. I see a double major, anthropology and political science, originally from Bettendorf. You started out, you voted for President Obama, then candidate Obama in 2008. Now you're a Ron Paul supporter. How did that happen?
Well, I think my decision to start supporting Ron Paul happened really, really quickly after I voted for Obama in 2008. I started doing research as to who he was appointing to his cabinet positions and started finding that a lot of them were affiliated with Wall Street. A lot of them came from Goldman Sachs, and a lot of them were former Clinton administration people, even former George W. Bush administration. And just judging from that, I immediately started kind of thinking, well, if we're going to really have change, how are we going to have change if all the exact same people are in the cabinet that were there in the last two administrations? And then as he progressed through his candidacy and didn't really see the results that I wanted to see on the wars in the Middle East, and also, you know, his re-signing of the Patriot Act really bothered me, not closing down Guantanamo Bay. I mean, these are the main reasons why I voted for him. And then I started seeing Ron Paul on YouTube videos and, you know, Google searches and a bunch of my friends talking about him. And I started realizing, you know, Ron Paul has been talking about a non-interventionist foreign policy, which is one of the main reasons why I voted for Obama. You know, he's been talking about it and actually voting that way for the last 25 plus years.
And, Logan, would you say you're unique in your circle of friends? Are there more like you who are disillusioned enough to jump from supporting Obama to another candidate?
I'd actually say probably the majority of the people that I talked to that were former Obama supporters, just from, you know, the previous 2008 campaign, talking to them, asking them their opinions, a lot of them feel the exact same way. They feel like they were lied to, like, you know, Obama got in, promised a bunch of things, really not many results. And a lot of them actually are now looking towards Ron Paul, seeing that he's been constantly speaking this non-interventionist foreign policy for the last 25 years or so.
Okay, Logan, a Ron Paul supporter, obviously, there. Let's hand it off to you, Catherine Valdi, as the chair of College Democrats at the University of Iowa. You're a sophomore from Coralville, majoring in political science and also history. You haven't yet voted in a presidential election. This will be your first, Catherine. But you are still an enthusiastic Obama supporter.
Yes.
What do you have to say to Logan's viewpoint? Not only that Logan has this, but he says many of his friends are feeling this way.
Well, you know, I guess many of the people that I hang around feel differently, and I understand that we're probably in certain different circles, but I just think that that makes it all the more important to elect the president to a second term, because there are things that I think all of us still want to see happen, and there are changes that we wanted made in the first term, but that couldn't be made just because that's how politics works. You get in there and you have a lot of big ideas, and it's hard to work with people, and we're disappointed at, you know, butting heads and the tension that we saw in Washington, but that was the reality of things. And so it's important, I think, to elect the president so that we can see these same changes, and I think that he can actually get them done in the second term. So I still believe in it. I still believe in the change and the hope of 2008.
Okay, so you're telling Logan the rhetoric is true. It just you have to be realistic about what can be achieved in a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
Okay, let's go to Kelsey Baim. You are chair of College Republicans at the University of Iowa. And you are a junior from Peoria, Illinois, majoring in political science, also ethics and public policy. Tell us about your position in this election. You're backing Mitt Romney now.
Yes, I'll be backing Mitt Romney. I think going off of what Catherine just said, a lot of people do argue that Obama needs more time for his change to be positive, but his economic plan did seem like it was working for a little bit, but now we have a very high unemployment rate. So I don't think the more time we're giving it is going to help. I think we need an actual change in office and that Obama's plan just isn't working.
So what does Mitt Romney have as a plan, as a policy that you see as more attractive than either Ron Paul, President Obama, or maybe Newt Gingrich? I don't know.
I think that Romney's experience in the public and private sector is just really what we need in office. He's held political office, but then again, he's been outside of it, and I think that his experience in both sides can really help the economy.
Okay, so he's your jobs man, is what you're saying, your jobs president. And we heard from you, Scott Keeter, of the Pew Research Center, that jobs is the, of course, the major issue here. Let me go to you, Stefan Schmidt. You've listened to these three young people, three different perspectives on 2012 politics. What are you hearing that matches up with what you're seeing?
Well, first of all, it's great to see three young people really enthusiastic about this race. And I think that as this all becomes a national campaign over the summer and then in the fall, that you will see a lot of more energy among students who are not as highly motivated as these three, and that you will see young voters get involved in the election. And, you know, I know, for example, that Obama is already putting in place a formidable machine that will use the whole social networking infrastructure that was so successful for him in 2008. And that, I think, is probably the way that younger voters are actually going to get motivated to vote, to volunteer, to participate, and to communicate with their friends and mobilize them, because we know the power of flash mobs, and we know the power of Twitter and other social media in basically getting people away from their gaming machines and books and jobs and going out and doing active things. So mm-hmm. I'm very optimistic.
What about Romney? I see a recent tweet of his, quote, "I don't see how anyone who is a young person could vote for a Democrat. I'm going to be honest with you, Mitt Romney." How is the Romney campaign now going to be angling for young voters? Certainly some of those same strategies, but how will that campaign attract them away from other quarters?
Well, I think the Romney campaign will also have a very elaborate and expensive social media campaign infrastructure, because, you know, the way books and newspapers and everything else is shifting to a networked society, politics is more and more also manifesting itself in that particular cyberspace. And so Mitt Romney is going to have a very well-funded campaign, and a part of that is going to be competing with the experience of Obama in his success in 2008. So I think it's going to be a dueling cyber war, for especially for younger voters. Frankly, one of the problems, and this already has come up this morning, is that in the primaries, a lot of issues that younger voters were not connecting with in very large numbers came up, and that was especially true of the contraception discussion, and now there is a whole discussion about the role of women, whether women should be out working or should stay at home and take care of their children, and lots of issues like that. The opposition of Republicans generally to gay marriage and things like that do to some extent benefit a more moderate or liberal candidate. And I think what Romney is going to have to do is overcome some of the skepticism among at least my students, and they're pretty conservative in many ways, about their own personal freedom and their own personal choices, and how Republicans will not roll those back or undermine, you know, some of the friendships and multicultural relationships that this new generation has. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge.
Stefan Schmidt, please stay put. I want to talk quickly with Scott Keeter before we have to take a break. We're going to say goodbye to Scott here in just a moment. But before we do, Scott, Stefan mentioned it there, that the social issues. What do you at Pew see as widening this generational gap between Democrats and Republicans, more liberal voters and more conservative voters, once we recognize this gap has widened?
Well, we certainly have had, over the course of the past several decades, a lot of societal change, more openness to alternative family structures, the coming out of the gay rights movement and the like. And there's just more acceptance by young people for this. They don't come into it with the kind of preconceived notions that my generation perhaps did. And there's another factor here which is important to politics and important to the points that Stefan made, and that is that young people are less likely to be affiliated with a religious tradition. Over a quarter of them in our polling say that they do not have any religious affiliation. That's not to say that they're irreligious or atheists. Some are, but most are not. But they're not tied to organized religion in the same way that older generations are. And, of course, religion is very much underpinning a lot of the traditional views on the social issues. So these are the things that I think are making this generation, even the more conservative members of this generation, more in tune with the Democratic Party's public positions. And I think that's one of the reasons that that Stefan said what he did about the difficulty that Romney may have in appealing to them, even though he has maybe a lot of appeal on the economy.
Scott Keeter, Director of Survey Research for the Pew Research Center, thank you for joining us for this half hour. We appreciate it, Scott.
Thanks very much.
And Stefan Schmidt will be with us along with our three students, Kelsey Bain, Catherine Valdi, and Logan DePover will be with us to talk politics and the youth vote into our next half hour. We also want to hear from you, River to River listeners, especially if you're in your 30s or younger. Which candidate, which party are you supporting this year? Has that changed your choice? Your viewpoint changed in the past 4 years? Do you feel the same enthusiasm you did 4 years ago? Or if you're no longer in your 30s or younger, how have your views changed over the years? Give us some reflection, some perspective from your view. 1-866-780-9100. River to River at iowapublicradio.org. 1-866-780-9100. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Back in just a few minutes. This is River to River. And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. We're talking about the youth vote. Young voters in this election, in past elections, what are the trends? A census report found that 4 years ago, 49% of those ages 18 to 24 who were eligible to vote participated in the presidential election. Still lower than the overall voter participation rate, about 64%, but that grew significantly in 2008. We're talking about this trend, if that will continue, and if so, who benefits? We're hearing from young voters. about who they're supporting in 2012 and issues that are important to them. If you'd like to join our conversation, especially if you're in your 30s or younger, which candidate, which party are you supporting this year? Why have you changed your political view from 4 years ago? We'd like to hear about that. Has your choice changed? Do you feel the enthusiasm you did 4 years ago? Or if you're no longer in your 30s, if you're 40s or above, how have your views changed over the years? Perhaps a reflection from you will be just what this conversation needs. 1-866-780-9100. rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, our email. We're also on the social media. We've been talking a lot about that this first half hour. Iowa Public Radio on Facebook, also on Twitter. Tweet us at IPR Talk. Joining us, we have three students at the University of Iowa. Kelsey Boehm, Chair of College Republicans at the university there. Catherine Valdi, Chair of College Democrats at the UI. And Logan DePover, he's a Ron Paul supporter in Iowa City, all in our studio in Iowa City. In our studio in Ames, Stefan Schmidt, University Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University. And let's jump back into this. Let's hear from you, Kelsey. We heard before Scott left us from the Pew Research Center that social issues may be one of the points that is making this gap wider, this generational gap. How do you view that as a Republican, chair of college Republicans at the UI, that perhaps the social issues are what is convincing younger voters to be more Democratic?
I think that it's definitely true that younger voters tend to be more liberal on the social issues. But I've seen from talking to a lot of students that the economy is the big issue, and even if they don't agree with the Republican nominee, that they'll probably support them just based on their economic policy and to cut federal spending.
Okay, let's go to our phones. Travis is joining us from Fairfield. Hi, Travis. Welcome.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. What do you have to chip in today?
So I am a unapologetic organizer for the Nader campaign in 2000. And he did not cause George Bush to be elected.
And not so the topic today, but all right. Right.
And so I was just wondering, like with the Occupy movement that sprang up just as quickly as the Tea Party movement did, I was wondering about, especially with the Ron Paul supporter that you have on there, why he doesn't consider the viability of a third party. And the reason that I asked that question is for the reasons that he brought up. The two party system seem to be in collusion, and that can be shown through one, the appointments that he talked about, so Larry Summers and Ben Bernanke and things like that. But also with regard to the health care bill that he passed, it's pretty much a Heritage Foundation Republican health care bill in the first place. So the differences to me, like 2000, seemed small enough that just wanted to transcend that into like what's our other option?
Good, got your point, Travis in Fairfield. Let's get a response from Logan, and then also Stefan. I'd be interested in your view, Stefan. Let's go to you, Logan. What do you think of Travis's call on a third party possibility
here? Well, I think Ron is less concerned with a third party run as he is with, you know, he's in it to win it this year. But he's also looking further ahead in that if you pay attention to what's going on, even in Iowa, for example, the former chair, Matt Strawn of the Iowa GOP party, actually resigned after the whole problems with figuring out who actually won Iowa in the caucus. And he was replaced by the former chair of the Ron Paul's Iowa campaign, A.J. Spiker. So I think if you really look, he's kind of slowly transforming the Republican Party from the inside out. If you see, a lot of the youth vote in Iowa, for instance, 48% of the youth in Iowa voted for Ron Paul. They're slow, even at our local government levels. Randy Shannon is somebody from the Cedar Rapids area. She's an avid Ron Paul supporter, actually helped out with the youth for Ron Paul.
What will you do, though, Logan? As it looks now, Ron Paul has a very slim chance, if any, to get the nomination. What do you do with your vote if Ron Paul is not on that ballot?
Well, I think his chances are actually a lot better than what people are reporting. The delegate process is hardly over. I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised in August to see the amount of delegates that he actually brings to Florida with him. But getting to your question, if he doesn't run as a third – if he ran as a third party, I would vote for him. But if he doesn't run and it's between Romney and Obama, I'm going to sit at home or go write his name in, because I see Romney and Obama as too much of having the same political philosophies. They talk differently, but really they're all for big government. They both are pretty much pro-war. Romney wants to bomb Iran, you know.
Stefan Schmidt, your view here.
It's really interesting, and Logan has kind of very succinctly summarized what I'm hearing from a lot of my students. I mean, a lot of my students do like Ron Paul, and the odd thing is, of course, on the one hand, they like the fact that he wants a much more diplomacy-oriented and less military U.S. foreign policy, and that doesn't really jibe very well with the majority of the Republican Party, but it doesn't even describe Barack Obama anymore and the Democrats, you know, who actually followed the Bush policy and ramped up in both Iraq and Afghanistan. And on the other hand, fiscally conservative, I mean, there's nobody more fiscally conservative and small government and freedom oriented than Ron Paul. So in that sense, he does connect with what a lot of other Republicans are talking about. But it leaves my Ron Paul supporter students in a lurch, because they say the same thing. They say It's Tweedledee, Tweedledum between Romney and Barack Obama on many issues. Of course, not on others. But
so under 30 in the Iowa caucus, 18,000 Iowans under 30 showed up at the GOP caucuses, 48% for Ron Paul. What happens to those votes? We heard what happens to Logan. He's going to sit on his hands at home, perhaps. What do you think, Stefan? What happens to that?
Well, I think some of them will definitely support the Republican nominee because, you know, Ron Paul has been running as a Republican, not as a Democrat. And I think he very likely in the end will be speaking at the Republican convention in Tampa. And in the end, he will probably say that on the whole, his philosophy and views match those of the Republican candidate more. But I think others will also walk and they won't write in a name. They'll just not participate. And that, of course, could be very harmful to the Republicans if, in fact, those are the people that the Republicans need to basically mobilize and bring in. The one thing I wanted to say, just in case we don't have a chance, is I am so impressed and relieved to see both the three students that you have on today and a lot of my students talk about all these issues and policies and the candidates in a civilized and an intelligent way. They don't yell at each other. They don't insult each other. They don't call each other stupid. They are setting an example for how you can have real disagreements on both personality and issues and do it in a way that builds a stronger society and doesn't tear us apart. And I think that's really impressive to me.
Stefan Schmidt is with us from Iowa State University. Three young voters with us in the studios in Iowa City, and we'd like to hear from you this hour, especially if you're in your 30s or younger. Tell us which candidate, which party you're supporting this year. How has your viewpoint changed in the past 4 years? 1-866-780-9100, our toll-free number, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org, our email. Catherine Valdi, chair of College Democrats at the University of Iowa, heard from Logan, others, also the caller saying, you know, Democrats, Republicans, I'm not seeing much difference, but you, I am assuming, are going to say this is a stark contrast.
Yeah, you know, I guess I disagree. I think that there is a big difference between the two candidates, and I think that it's important to get out and to vote, and that if, you know, Ron Paul's not the nominee, then you look at the issues and you think who is most aligned with what I believe. And, you know, I just, when it comes to young voters, I think that the president has done a lot with health care. He's done a lot with education, looking at increasing Pell Grants and helping programs to relieve student debt. I think those are things that matter and have a direct and significant impact on the lives of young voters. And so that's why I'm supporting the president this year.
Carol is joining us from Mason City. Hi, Carol. Thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
I'm 60 years old, and I have always voted Democrat. I have since 1972. But this year I've decided I'm going to go with Romney because I just feel Obama just, I don't know, he's, I don't like the fact that he got us drug into to Afghanistan, and his Obamacare.
Well, that's a more than 10-year-old war, though, right, Carol?
What?
Afghanistan is a more than 10-year-old war.
Yeah, I know, but he escalated it. I feel
okay. The escalation, he did have a push there.
And I just feel Romney is more physically. I think he's got a better chance of getting us out of this recession. I think Obama's not really doing anything.
Okay. Carol, interesting. If I heard you correctly, 60 years old, a registered Democrat, now backing Mitt Romney. Thank you, Carol, for your viewpoint from Mason City. Okay, let's go to Tiffin. Kyla is with us in Tiffin. Hi, Kyla.
Hi. I guess I beat the former lady here a little bit. I'm 76. I usually have been sort of a flaming liberal, but I'm a Ron Paul supporter. And I'm going to vote for him one way or the other. I definitely will not vote for Obama. I think he's just like George Bush. In fact, it makes me wonder if Barbara Bush wasn't fooling around some.
Okay.
He hasn't done any better or any different than George Bush. And on his health care plan that you're all so proud of, he didn't do anything to contain costs, so therefore it isn't going to work.
Okay,
anyway,
Kyla. Kyla,
I'm
you've got
for
a number.
Ron Paul.
You're for Ron Paul. Okay, Kyla, thank you. Let's go up to Ryan in Iowa City. Hi, Ryan.
Hello.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
We're winding up this hour. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that compelled me not to vote for President Obama last time, I voted for a third-party candidate, but his flip-flopping on campaign finance reform, I think the professor had a really good point. We've got three great students and future leaders speaking very civilly. I think the future of politics is speaking civilly, and I hope in our transparent society we can change campaign finance. But President Obama had a chance to make history and participate in public finance of the last election with McCain, and that was something that I couldn't get over that.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, Ryan, thank you from Iowa City. Stefan, seeing a lot of disenchantment with President Obama, but you sounded confident earlier in the program that he can win over a lot of hearts and minds.
Well, you know, this is a country where you only have two choices. This is not Europe. You know, this is not France. They've got an election coming up, and there are at least three strong candidates and maybe four. This is the Republican or the Democrat. And I think the Democratic candidate is obviously going to be Barack Obama. And you assess him for whatever he is. Once you become president, no matter what promises you made in the campaign, your first briefing is a national security briefing. And I think the reason that he increased American forces in both Iraq and Afghanistan and then now is withdrawing them is because his intelligence team told him, we cannot let those places collapse. We've got to shore them up, and then we can pull out. So sometimes presidents make promises that they believe they could fulfill, and when they become president, they really can't. And that probably would be true of Mitt Romney as well. Once he gets elected, he'll suddenly realize that you can't just slash government and cut programs. Some of them are vital to the success of the private sector in this country. And so voters ultimately will have two choices, and they have a third choice, which is to stay home and do what Logan said, or maybe go and vote and write, you know, Ron Paul's name or somebody else's name in. But that's just a symbolic exercise. It doesn't do much in practical terms. It's the next president of the United States is either Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. I don't think there's a chance that the Republicans will nominate anyone else.
Okay, Stefan Schmidt, I want to turn to our students here because we're talking about the youth vote, also generational differences in voting. Quickly, if we could go through, I'm interested if the politics are transferring through the generations in your cases, Logan, Catherine, and Kelsey. For instance, Kelsey, you're chair of college Republicans at the University of Iowa. Do you come from a conservative family, would you say? What was that, Peoria, right?
Yes, I actually do not come from a conservative family. My dad's very moderate and actually voted for Obama in the last election, and he deeply regrets it now and is embarrassed to tell you that. And my mom is also pretty liberal as well. So I've really just looked at the issues on my own and developed my own conservative ideology, not from my parents.
Catherine Valdi, chair of College Democrats at the University of Iowa. Do you have a Democratic Party heritage in your family?
I do. Both my parents are Democrats. They're not particularly politically active. I'm much more so than they are. And I don't always know how they voted, but I do come from Democrats.
Okay. and Logan, Ron Paul supporter, what can you say about your political heritage?
Well, both my parents, my dad's pretty moderate, more leaning liberal. My mom is a school teacher who's pretty liberal and it's always fun discussing politics with her coming from my side and listening to her point of view and stuff. But we keep it civil.
Okay. And we do here on River to River. Josh is in Vinton as well. Josh, hi. Coming up to the end of our hour, do you have a question or a comment?
Comment. I'm early 30s. I'd say I was probably a moderate Republican in college, and I've kind of supported Obama the last time around, and I think probably do so again. I appreciate his seems like a fairly pragmatic approach to the issues.
What do you have, Josh? What do you have to say to those who we've heard this hour are jumping ship, are not staying with Obama as you seem to be?
Well, I see. It seems like there's a lot of views that are based on an ideology instead of what the actual situation, what the actual problems are. One of your people there mentioned student aid and stuff as a reason for young voters to go with Obama. I think it's student aid isn't just for student. It's a positive thing for the country to support education for children. You know, it's an investment in the country, and I think that there are places that the government needs to invest that money so our country does prosper in the future.
You want them to go to college, do you? I mean, that Santorum already said, you know, Obama wants these kids all to go to college, and that's elitist.
Okay. So snobs. I think he said snobs, didn't he, Stefan?
Yeah,
maybe.
He did.
So,
yeah.
Something like that. Josh, yeah. Thank you from Vinton. Josh calling. Stefan, before the hour ends, I want to go back to callers, but to you, first of all, tell us about how this increasing participation among the youth, the youngest age groups of voters, may be influencing the national debate. Do you see any signs of that?
Well, I think a lot of people have their daughter or their son or some other relative living in their house, and that's a new development in the United States. We tend to be single family, and once the kids have left the nest, they go on and they get a job and move somewhere else. And in this economy, we're developing these new large sort of extended families with more people living together, and they certainly are talking about why that is. And so the economy, jobs, and so on are actually being discussed every day by people, and I think that's going to affect how the discussion unfolds in the next months as we go towards November.
Okay, Mitchell in Dubuque. Not much time, Mitchell. What's your point?
My point is that President Obama has done more for young people than any president I can think of. I'm a 24-year-old student. I go to University of Illinois, and I'm back home this weekend listening to you guys. And he's the president, and this party has done more for young people in the past 4 years than have been done in a long time. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, Mitchell in Dubuque. Here's a listener in Ames writing us an email. My daughter, who is in her early 30s, would never vote for a candidate whose party is waging a war on women. Ron Paul may be non-interventionist on foreign policy, but he does not support any sort of social safety net. The social safety net is especially important to women who are more likely to fall into poverty after divorce, who have special concerns about child care and education, and who often need programs for food assistance. Logan, quickly, response to that.
Actually, I think responding to that is Ron Paul is one of the only candidates who's actually actively tackling this problem. Nobody else is really doing anything to save Social Security, which we all know is broke. You know, he wants to bring all the troops home from overseas, cut all of our spending in the defense so that way we can actually help out these people that are struggling until we do a transitionary period to get them less dependent on government spending.
Okay. Let's wind up here. Kelsey, Logan, and Catherine, you've been lauded as outstanding examples of politically engaged people a couple times during this hour. I want to ask you, how do you see yourself in politics in the coming days, in the coming years? Do you, for instance, Kelsey, see yourself making a career of politics?
The plan has been to go to law school, but I think that the more I get involved in politics, the more I consider going into that as my career. I still have another year to make that decision, though. So,
okay, Kelsey, on to Catherine.
I don't think so. I enjoy working in politics and when working for candidates I believe in, but I'm not sure that I'll ever be a candidate.
And Logan, to you.
Yeah, I couldn't see myself running for office, but I could definitely see myself, you know, helping out in the campaign process with a particular candidate.
Okay, the last word goes to you, Stefan Schmidt. We've got just about a minute left. Any insights to leave us with to conclude this conversation?
Well, I think we haven't talked much about the social media aspect, but I would like to encourage the three students who are there to think of creative ways that they can, in fact, engage with social media to promote the ideas that they have so, I think, brilliantly and interestingly explained here, because I think that is how they're going to reach very large numbers of people in their own cohort group, their own peers, and get them excited and get them as involved in politics as these three obviously are. That's how we're going to improve politics in this country, is to get people, you know, more people and not the professional politicians and the professional punsters to lead in this process. And the social media are a wonderful way to recruit.
Stephen Schmidt, thank you very much. University Professor of Political Science at Iowa State University, thank you very much for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
And our young voters, Kelsey Bain, Catherine Valdi, and Logan DePover, thank you for coming in, sharing your political views, what issues concern you as young people. Kelsey, Chair of College Republicans at the University of Iowa. Catherine, Chair of College Democrats at the University of Iowa. And Logan, a Ron Paul supporter. We've enjoyed having all three of you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for having us.
River to River is produced by Catherine Perkins and Alex Hoyer. We had production assistance today from Emily Woodbury, technical support from Dennis Reese, the executive producer of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows, Jeff Schmidt. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend.